Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he's doing great things, and he has great things in store for those who love him, for those who trust him and take him at his word. You know the Lord is returning and coming soon. And I thank God that he is. And I thank God for all those that he's blessing. I've been having the most Holy Ghost feel conversations lately with people, and I thank God for it. And sometimes, you know, we need to be stirred up in the things of God, and it's a blessing when the Lord can use us to say what others need and to hear what others have to say, the insights that people are just walking around with. Anybody that's been hearing the word, love the Lord, they have something to say. It's not just them. You know, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. And people are made, we're all made in his image. And we have a voice. And we need to speak his word as he prompts us to speak it. And I thank God for all the people that yield to him and that's hungry. Even when people are hungry for the word and they're around anybody that's anointed and yielded to operate in their anointing, then the Lord is right there in the midst. Wherever there's two or three gathered together, there am I in the midst. And I told a friend of mine today that when you're talking, you know, two people that love God, they're talking and sharing. Jesus is in the midst, and the Holy Spirit will cause us to say what we all need. You know, the Lord will prompt us to say what we need. The Holy Spirit came in Jesus' name to help us with all that we need. And when we yield to him, we can learn so much more. I love it. And I'm sincere about that. It's very important to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to fellowship with each other. You know, I'm reminded of that scripture, Romans chapter 14. It's been a while since I went to Romans chapter 14, so I'll go there now. You know, the Lord has so much to say, and the healing process of life is in the Word. And Paul was dealing with some things in Romans in chapter 14. And I love the part when he said that he talked about life. It's not about eat meat or drink, what people could argue over in the law, you know. But it's righteousness, joy, and peace. Here it is, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you have a strong, thriving life. Even if you have problems, your life will always break through. And you can, if we rejoice in the Holy Ghost, if we come together in him, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not what we eat. It's not what we drink. It's not what we wear. It's not what day we wake up and fellowship. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's as simple as that. I love it. I was thinking today about some things, how people operate in the kingdom of God. When we learn something that's new to us and other people don't know, sometimes people, I was thinking about how people is so much of the knowledge of God, and sometimes people haven't entered into things that maybe you entered into or I've entered into. And I can think of times when people learned concepts from God that others did not. You know, in the when the denominational churches were more prominent and the Pentecostal churches were less prominent, when people found out about the activity of the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues and the spiritual gifts, and manifestations and wonders and signs happening. See, wonders and signs follow obedience. It's not limited to the Pentecostal church, but they just embraced it they embraced it differently. They were more receptive to the miracles of God because in olden times, they were less reluctant. They were taught to be less reluctant in a civilized society. So the things of God were, the spiritual things were less known about. But God was always moving with, you know, when you look at history, the Lord was always moving by His Spirit. And miracles would happen in the denominational churches. They just didn't talk about it. They didn't want it to seem odd. And then when you taught against something, then you actually, to walk in more light, you have to break through. But when you just sincerely love God, that's a recipe for miracles to happen. Now, when people are taught wrong, that was satanic. That was a doctrine of the devil. You know, the devil don't send people to tear down something that's bad. He sends demons out, and he sends people to tear down things that's good. So everybody has the responsibility to break through in life. But what happens is when people learn something that others may not seem to know, they feel more fulfilled in life and they look at people differently. But nevertheless, God still loves all of His people, all of His soldiers, all of His family. And there are still aspects of life in them. Now, my parents, they were Methodist. My dad was a Methodist pastor. And he shared the Methodist narrative, which that's what he was taught. Now, I like the way Lester Sumrall put it. He said, people walk in the glory that they receive, but there's always a greater glory. And he said, he asked the Lord to always help him enter into and embrace the newest glory that comes. That's, now, when I say new glory, I'm not saying something that's never been done before. All of the glories is Scripture, all of it. Some things are just new to us, just like authority was new to this generation. Even after people started, they found out about faith, few people operated in the God kind of authority. The authority that Jesus gave us. Even though Jesus plainly talked about it, a lot of people didn't utilize it. He said it one time in Luke chapter 10. He said that, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And then when he said that you're the Christ, you're the Son of God, Jesus, he said, flesh and blood didn't show this to you, but the Father showed it to you. He said, on this rock I'll build my church. And then he said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And people say, well, he was just talking to Peter. Well, he said it again in chapter 18. He said, well, as two or three of you gathered together, and they are mine in the midst. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In Luke chapter 10, the 70 returned, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. He said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And he said, I've given to you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. So, but people haven't, sometimes people see those things and, yeah, well, that's what the apostles did. That's what Jesus did. And they don't think that they can do it, because they don't know anybody. And if their pastor don't do it, then, you know, I just can't see myself doing it. If the leadership isn't doing it and they don't agree with it, why should I agree with it? But now, I said all that to say this. My dad shared the Methodist narrative, and he didn't deviate from the things that they said. Now, he was a good man of God. The same man I'm talking about, he never taught me about authority over Satan. He never seemed to understand that he had authority over Satan. But he lived the life of God. He lived according to the word. He lived according to the light that he had, to the point that I desired marriage because of my parents. I saw how my parents served each other. They worked jobs and he pastored. He didn't just pastor alone. He worked a job and he pastored. He was faithful. He was patient. He visited the sick. He would go out to church. I'd be ready on a sunny day in the summertime. I'd be ready to go home. Daddy, when we going? I wanted to play. I wanted to get home before it got dark. Every now and then, we get home before the sun go down. I have a few hours to play. And I wanted to ride my go-kart. I wanted to ride my mini bike. I wanted to play with my friends. Or either I wanted to watch something that was going to come on TV at 8 o'clock. And then my daddy would go to the hospital and visit with people. And he had to go to work the next day, but he'd visit with them and talk to them. And I was waiting, and I had to wait. And Mama kept me under control. And they visited, and they loved the people, and then they prayed with them. And then they left and came home. And sometimes I got a chance. I got home in time to watch my movie. Sometimes I got home in time to play and with my friends. And sometimes I didn't. Not all the time, but sometimes I just had to deal with it. But nevertheless, out of all that activity, I never heard my parents complain not one time in any part of my life about the way that they had to go out of town to do ministry work. And so, now, and then I've seen people that operate in authority and admit that sometimes they just would not rather go to church that day, but they were not like that. They never voiced it. And if my mama didn't go to church, she was sick. If my daddy didn't go to church, he felt terrible. If my daddy said he felt bad, he felt terrible because he had a high tolerance for pain. And then I look at things from another angle. My parents, my daddy's parents were murdered before his eyes. He saw his daddy murdered. His daddy drove up in the truck. They had already killed his mother. Then the man who killed his mother shot his father, and the bullet hit my daddy in the chest. The bullet broke the skin on my dad's chest and killed his father. So he went through that kind of pain, but he came to a point in life that he matured in the Lord, and he forgave the man that he vowed to kill one day. Now, my dad was a man's man. He was like the cowboys in them John Wayne Westerns. He didn't play. And I know this about him. I lived with him. He did not play. If somebody bothered his family, he would fight and he would shoot. He carried a gun everywhere he went. But the Lord did a work in his heart. And he forgave the man that he went out and greeted him and talked to him and forgave him and shook his hand. And he meant it. Now, sometimes people are taught the things of God and they've embraced the move of the Holy Ghost, but there are still valuable elements in all of God's people. One thing we have to do, we have to look at what people give God to work with and work with it. What do people have? What's on board? What light are they walking in? It's important. You can still learn things, amazing things, from people who are walking in the light, because they're utilizing what God gave them. So we have to work with people the light that they can operate in. Sometimes it's over the top amazing. And that's not flattery. I don't believe in flattering anybody. Flattery is a lie. You're lying to get one over on somebody. You're bragging on them and it's not even real to you. But the truth, when I see people walking in the light, doing the things of God, I appreciate it thoroughly. Because one phrase of God's word can, and you understand it, it can put you over. You know, I can prove it. One time a guy said, he said, even a weak Christian can overcome Satan. And you know, that phrase helped me so many times. So many times I felt weak. And I thought about what Earl said. He said that even a weak Christian can overcome Satan. And at my weakest moment, I still had hope because of a phrase. Kenneth Copeland said something. He said, God will not do you wrong. And that word was just etched in my spirit, man. And when the enemy sets you up to fail, he try to get you to blame God for what happened. And I remember what Kenneth Copeland said, God will not do you wrong. And it was established in my spirit. One phrase. See, people can say some things or do some things, no matter what we think we know. You know, you have to be receptive to what is of God. Remember, God can change the lives of millions with a fraction of one. And the reason I say that, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. At the right moment, we can say something and it can cause many millions of people to be blessed. And spiritual wealth gets on your life when that happens for you. When you yield to the Lord and He uses you and it helps people hang on in there. Now, if when you're learning something, this is the concept I thought about today. When you're learning and you're the one that breakthrough in life and you're doing something that others haven't done, it's important not to look down your nose at others as if you did something so much greater than them. This is why I say that. I'm not... We're all important. If you break through somewhere for a season, you may be the only person in your circle or even on earth to understand this concept. If you keep going in God's presence and learning, you're going to learn concepts far beyond your years of intelligence, your years of learning, what you could come up with out of your own mind. That's what I mean by years beyond your, speaking beyond your years. Well, when you're receptive to the Holy Spirit, you're receptive to the Holy Spirit. That's the word I want to use. You've been fellowshipping with Him. It's quite natural for you to say something that will come out of that relationship, and it will be over the top wise. But that does not refute the wonderful things that others have done. See, I'm still standing on my parents' shoulders. And I embrace the things of God, the move of God. I believe in authority. I learned about faith. I learned about the Holy Ghost. Then I learned about faith. Then I learned about authority. I learned how to speak by faith by, listening to Charles Capps. And these are great men of God. But I learned so many wonderful character elements from Charles Stanley. I learned so many measures of patience from Dr. David Jeremiah. I learned how not to worry from Reverend Rice, a Methodist pastor. See, my sisters, I stayed at home with my sisters instead of going to church with my father when I got about 10 years old, and we went to Mount Moriah United Methodist Church, and Reverend Rice was the pastor there. So I learned from people of all walks of Christianity, so to speak. And one day when my dad was in the hospital, we listened to a Catholic priest. This man's teaching was so intriguing. It was just a blessing to listen to him. He was talking about what Jesus taught. Now, this man of God, this Catholic man of God was a man of God. I enjoyed listening to him. I was captivated. And the nurse called on that call thing and it changed the channel or something. And I couldn't get him back. And I was very disappointed. So anyway, what I'm saying is this, and this is very important. Sometimes when people get to a point that they break through and they look at others and become judges, the body, we have to recognize what God is doing in the body. His people. We all are the body of Christ. Now, some people would, and I know what I'm not trying to cast blame or be mean, but I've been going to church all my life and I've heard people do this. not even realizing how rude it is. When, you know, I came out of I went to a Pentecostal church, and we had a teaching pastor, and a pastor that would explain things in depth. He was also basically a doctor. He could teach college classes in the denomination we were in. He had went to the schools, and he could teach in that body, you know, and he could teach college level material, which he did. He taught all the ministers. He took us through a college course, basically. But the problem, when you have knowledge, you know, King Solomon, he pointed out that in Ecclesiastes that knowledge puffeth up. That's what I'm, see, the enemy is slick. That's what I'm talking about. Just because you break through, don't get puffed up ever. Watch what the Lord is doing and rejoice with what he's doing in others. When people are breaking through and walking in the glory that they have, rejoice with them. They may not have learned from the route that you went. They may not have learned from your pastor, your bishop, the church body that you're used to. They may be a little different. They may even seem a little odd, but God is still moving by his Spirit in the light that they were walking in. And if you see every healthy relationship, you have the ability. Now, the most healthy relationships, both parties or the people in those relationships have the ability to be the teacher and the student. Sometimes people are in parent mode and they're used to being the parent, and it's in their heart to share things with the children. But guess what? Those children go to college and they grow and mature from glory to glory, you know, learning the things that they do in college. And in the workforce, they excel farther than the parents do. Eventually they will, because information is increasing. They have more to work with. They have access to more intelligence. The cell phone is not just a phone. It's a camera. It's a recorder. It's a library. It's an encyclopedia through Google. Anything you want to know about, you can Google it. I met mechanics that never went to school, and they're fixing parts on cars. Now, they're basically part changes, but they YouTube stuff and fix it. You know, we used to laugh and call them Google techs. But it can be done. I learned how to fix my drain water from my sink on YouTube. I'm not a plumber. I'm just a mechanic with good sense. And I listen. In other words, what you carry in your pocket, your cell phone, or your laptop, or your personal computer, it's more than just a device to watch movies on. You can really learn some fascinating facts on it. Now, as we learn and grow, when people are learning and growing, nobody can tell unless you do something, say something, or act on it. So parents still come around, you know, asking their grown children that's over 30 years old, did you eat? Did you get enough sleep? They're in parent mode. You have to release people into adulthood. And I understand it. People do it. My mother did it. But I said, you know, they're going to eat. Now, I just listen to what my children say. And I know them. I know how they think. I know how they process. And I seek to say things that will help. Yet, I want them to know and feel that I respect them as an adult now. And I expect them to do what they're supposed to. And I don't worry about them. I told all of them, I don't worry about y'all. You know what to do. And you're supposed to do it. You're grown now. What if they do something stupid? Well, what if they don't? When I was their age, and I've been their age before, I got saved at the age of 19. I didn't have a mind to do stupid stuff. I didn't have a mind to do worldly things. And I didn't even have a mind to do immature things, except for maybe play. I used to like to shoot my BB gun, but that was just something to do this recreational. Some people like to shoot, like archery. And some people love to go bowling, whatever you do. But isn't that, you know, shooting a BB gun, I would have shot a real gun, but I didn't have the money for the ammunition. You can have just as much fun with a BB gun. You can shoot it more places without bothering people. And so, you know, I didn't like it when people thought that I was going to backslide. So I don't treat my children like they might. I don't fear that they might backslide. I believe that they may go forward in the Lord like I did. And we have to believe in people. And people can sense when you doubt them. Whenever you doubt people, you doubt against them. You're doubting against their intelligence. You're doubting against their ability. You're questioning their sincerity. And God can still work with them in the light that they will walk in. And you know what? I've seen this happen too. Sometimes the people that were underestimated are the ones that will invoke the rescue of others. They'll say the thing that will put you on the map. They will say things that you need so that you can succeed and go forward. So just because somebody don't do what I do or think like I do, whatever light that they're walking in, I thank God for it. And if they're wrong, if you're walking in the light, you'll know darkness when you see it. But if you give up, remember something about the enemy. He's a slick politician. He's an oily politician. He's a liar. And he's looking for ways to rout us, to drive us away from the things of God. If anybody that you should be friends with, he's going to try to divide that friendship. The ministry you should be a part of, he's going to try to give you reasons not to be a part of it. He's afraid. He's afraid of the potential of their union, a church that's one in the Lord, a church that's responsive to the things of God, a church that's growing and desiring, pulling on the pastor's anointing. He's afraid of that. He's afraid of the pastor that would love the people so much that he listen. And he go before the Lord in prayer and find out how to be a blessing. And he say things that's appropriate. See, none of this can happen in one day. It happens over time. It's so many people. The way you carry yourself as a way of life, that's what I'm talking about. Not just saying a kind word today and a kind word, you know, every moment of every, it's just the way of life. Loving people, yielding. When people say things that and you could tell God is in it, you know, encourage them to go forward. So many people are breaking through on their level, and there's always somebody to throw water on it, try to put the fire out because they didn't do it the route that I approve of. But it doesn't, the point of all this is this: never underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do in others. Acknowledge what the Holy Spirit is doing through the lives of others. Just like you want to be acknowledged, acknowledge them. Because when you see, anytime you see Jesus, if you're open to more truth, he will give it to you. And we are capable of so much more if we are only yield to the Holy Spirit and learn to follow him. I don't ever want to treat a person like they're nothing. That's evil. I know if God did things in me, he can do it through anybody. What he alerted me to, he taught me, he trained me about following God. And I want people to know, if you yield your life to him, he will take your life and do something with it. He will cause you to say what's necessary. It'll be appropriate. It'll be love. It'll be wisdom. It will be pure. It will be pure and holy. And just like the scripture said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and what you do and what you learn. I mean, that's part of it. But it's not just meat and drink. It's not just keeping the law. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to say it another way. The kingdom of God is not just performance, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not just performance. It's not just what you've achieved. It's not just, you know, people will put it this way. I don't eat pork. I don't drink wine. Well, some people do eat pork and some people do drink wine. But it's not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And some things, you know, cigarettes, coffee, beer, wine. The Holy Ghost will guide people into all truth. I just tell people, don't get drunk. Cigarettes will kill you. They put stuff in that tobacco that will take you out to make you addicted to it. It's just wisdom not to do that. That's all I have to say about it. But whether it's a sin or not, you need to go and talk to the Lord about it. That's not for me. I'm not going to tell people what to do. My daddy smoked. People that I love smoke. Even people that I've seen, you know, I wouldn't do it. I don't believe in that. I that's not what I want. I never desired to smoke because of I had an aunt that died of lung.